And welcome to another edition of Pittsburgh Pop. Rob Owen and Tim Benz with you. Glad that you're with us here. Our weekly slice of pop culture at Trib Live. You can read Rob, TV Talk, TV Q&A. Check me out on the Sports Side Breakfast with Benz every week. We do have some sports content to discuss as it relates to viewership and how you can get Penguins games and Pirates games. We'll get to that. But Rob, we spent a lot of time last week in advance of the start of the writer's strike, and now it's on. How is it impacting TV viewership?
Well, pretty much the way we thought it would. The late night shows, with a few exceptions, went down. Colbert, Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, those shows are all on hiatus. But Gutfeld on Fox News Channel is still going because it is naturally a non-union show. So it is continuing. There's some wrinkles with daytime. The View is continuing without writers, but The Talk is not. So it's pretty much gone the way we expected it to, and we're just going to have to keep monitoring it and see what happens next.
I'm used to covering labor disputes when it comes to sports. Everything is very public, back and forth. There's serve, there's volley. Everything seems to be played out in the media. Right. Most things are anyway. How about from your experience when it comes to things like this in the entertainment world? Is that also the case, or does it stay behind closed doors for the most part?
No, it's definitely playing out. So you had the writers last week saying why the talks failed, that the studios represented by the AMPTP, which is the American, I don't know what it stands for, but anyway, it's the studios, the suits, that they would not engage on a number of levels that the writers wanted to negotiate on. Then the AMPTP shot back with, oh no, we did do this, that, and the other thing, and we offered more money. But the big thing with this is that it's not about money for the writer. I mean, it is, but it's not only about money for the writers. It's sort of about, they've called it an existential crisis, because the studios want to get rid of writers' rooms, which is where the writers all get together, work on scripts, and craft a season of a show. And the studios instead basically want to turn it into, as the writers say, a gig profession, where you're going from gig to gig to gig. Now, it's a little bit of a fine line, because as it is, as a writer in Hollywood, it already is kind of a gig profession. It's not like you're hired by one company and you work for them for years and years. But without writers' rooms, there's no way to really train up and get on sort of that ladder to increase your standing as a writer and eventually become a showrunner. So I think there is much more, I think the writers are much more united this time than they were the last time in 2007, 2008, 2009, I guess it was 08, 09, when the last strike happened. So I sort of think this is going to go on for a while. But yes, there have been volleys back and forth, and I'm sure there will continue to.
Let's get to what we talked about before we really started rolling here, and that is the latest surrounding broadcast deals for local teams, local distribution of local sports teams like the Penguins and the Pirates. A while ago, I'd say now about 2 months ago, there was a lot of hullabaloo about would the Pirates games even be on AT&T Sportsnet? Where would the Penguins games be next year? And to date, no such problems. The Pirates games are still on AT&T Sportsnet. I believe the last I heard, the thinking is that they'll be able to sustain there throughout this season. I haven't heard any guarantees in the Penguins for next season. And this kind of dovetails with another topic we were going to talk about, which is what's going on with the CW here locally. I thought that might be an outlet, that station, that destination might be an outlet for the Penguins and Pirates. But we are seeing like local deals being struck in other markets, are we not? Like Las Vegas with Scripps?
Yeah. So when this all started a couple months ago, I thought there's no way that these teams are going to end up on broadcast channels. But now it seems like in some instances they are. So you have the Phoenix Suns and Mercury leaving Bally Sports for Gray Television. Now, the thing that makes this a little bit different from anything we've got in the Pittsburgh market is that it's multiple gray television stations. So they're able to amortize that cost over multiple stations. It's not like it's just going to one station in that market. And then another deal that was done was the Vegas Golden Knights leaving AT&T Sportsnet and will air games on local Scripps-owned local broadcast channels. Now, that one appears to be one channel. So that that would be more sort of parallel to something that you could imagine happening in Pittsburgh, particularly because the other problem when we talked about this 2 months ago is there wasn't really an outlet for those stations because there isn't really a purely independent station in the Pittsburgh market that has enough money and wherewithal to stage a game. But now WPCW has dropped its affiliation with the CW network, effective later this year, possibly September 1st. They haven't settled on an exact date, it doesn't appear. So that opens up a channel that maybe the Penguins or the Pirates could be on. Now, I still think the most likely course for the Penguins, because Penguins ownership also owns a stake in NESN, which is the New England Sports Network.
Yeah,
that it seems more likely to me that the Penguins would end up there and that somehow that channel would come into the market. But you've got the challenge there of getting that channel onto local cable systems and satellite systems. So that is a little, makes that a little bit harder. The Pirates, maybe they could end up on WPCW, but does Paramount Global, which owns KDK and WPCW, do they actually want to spend money on these indie stations, or do they want to go independent and operate them at a song at a very low price that would not be able to afford rights to professional baseball? Also, I just looking now at this Golden Knights thing, it's also going to have distribution on multiple stations. So that also makes it maybe less likely, because I don't know, are there multiple stations that are owned by someone who owns a Pittsburgh station in markets in which there would be an interest in Pirates or Penguins games? So I'm still kind of iffy on whether or not either team could end up on a broadcast channel in Pittsburgh. I'm not sure that it really works out.
What does TAE have?
TAE is owned by Cozy. Hearst.
Yeah, so Hearst. Hearst have Cozy too?
I don't think Hearst owns Cozy. I think Cozy is more of a syndicated service that they either buy or barter to air on their second digital sub-channel.
Okay. Because I was thinking that might be the outlet, or like, you know, we sort of alluded to already, where, you know, KDKA can put something on. Where do they put the post-game show for the Steelers? On the CW, right? Right.
And now they can do that more easily, because now they can interrupt CW. Well, they won't have CW programming to interrupt. So things like that become much, much simpler. But, you know, do they want to spend the money to put sports on WPCW? Now, they do have the Riverhounds already, so there is precedent. But my guess is that the cost to do Riverhounds games is probably pretty small. I don't know if this actually materially impacts where sports teams could end up in Pittsburgh or not. It's all kind of a jumble to me.
I think it's kind of funny how we've all come full circle here. I mean, like, that used to be the case. Like, you used to see games on local stations, and then the local cable all sports outlets took over, whether it was KBL, whether it was Prime, you know, whether it was Root Sports, Fox Sports, now AT&T Sportsnet, whatever iteration of ownership it was. That made the thinking obsolete to put the games on various outlets, you know, some games here, some games there, with the exception of when the national networks like ESPN pick them up or NBC pick them up, you know, it's one destination, that's it. And now they might be going back to that again. You know, there used to be Pirates games on KDKA and WTAE, and here we are going back there again. It's strange, isn't it?
Well, we'll see if we actually go back there. I'm not convinced that that will happen. I think it is more like it is slightly more possible now with PCW going independent, but I don't know. As far as people concerned about the CW and where you'll find those shows, I suspect that they will find an outlet in Pittsburgh, whether WPNT adopts the CW and drops My Network TV, or perhaps more likely the CW becomes one of those .2, .3 secondary digital sub-channels on a different channel in the Pittsburgh market. That might be the way it goes. But I suspect you will get the CW in Pittsburgh this fall. I'm just not sure where yet. But I also suspect it doesn't really matter because they're going to cancel most of their shows because they're now owned by Nexstar, which is the whole reason this is happening. When CBS had a stake in the CW, they wanted the CW on that station that they own in Pittsburgh. Now they don't own, I think they own a minority share, not a majority share. So they don't care. So that's why PCW is dropping the affiliation. Nexstar, which owns CW now, is going to cancel almost all the scripted shows and bring in lower cost imported scripted fare and put on reality shows. They just re-upped F-Boy Island and ordered the spinoff F-Girl Island. So that is the direction the CW is going in. So if you have a CW favorite show, the only thing that's scripted that they've renewed at this point is All American. So Lois and Clark, we don't know yet, but it seems like to me it's going to be too expensive for what Star wants to operate that network at.
Well, on the topic of sports, Rob, the greatest sports movie of all time, Dodgeball, might have a sequel. This has me very excited.
Dodgeball getting a sequel. And it looks like the original folks are back. Is that right?
I don't know if it's the whole original cast. That has not been clear yet, but based on what I've read, it's going to be an extension of the Globo Gym conversation from before. Like there's still going to be, it's still going to be set around Globo Gym. So Peter will continue to be the main character. Vince Vaughn's character I don't know if Justin Long will be in it. I don't know if Christine Taylor is going to be in it or Ben Stiller or like any of the other, you know, great supporting cast that was a part of Dodgeball. But I do know that Globo Gym is going to be at the center of it. That much I've read so far. And I actually sent a note to Steve Byrne because he's tight with Vince Vaughn. I said, do you think there's any chance Vince Vaughn will shoot the Dodgeball sequel somewhere in Pittsburgh? And he said he was dubious of that, but he's going to work on it. He's going to try to grease the wheels to see if Dodgeball 2 can be made here in Pittsburgh, which is something I'd be very, very excited about happening.
It seems to me like Justin Long and Christine Taylor have not been doing a lot lately. So I feel like you could maybe get them back.
How about the Netflix Bridgerton spinoff, Queen Charlotte?
Oh, yes. This is a prequel/spinoff of the original Bridgerton. This one is written by Shonda Rhimes, at least the first three episodes I saw. And I actually thought it was much better than Bridgerton. I never had much use for Bridgerton because the plots all seemed paint by number. It was very obvious by the end of episode one where it was going to go. And then you just had to wait for it to get there. Whereas Queen Charlotte, by virtue of being this sort of, it's both set back in time as a prequel to when Queen Charlotte first married King George, I think. I'm not sure. It's been a few days since I watched it. But then there's also this element set in the future with the Bridgerton era, Queen Charlotte and Lady Danbury. And at that point, Queen Charlotte is fretting over which of her layabout children could be a successor. So it's got both two stories going on at once, and there's just more room. Like, I didn't feel like I know where this is going. Which was what I felt on both seasons of the original Bridgerton. I felt like with Queen Charlotte, there's a lot more room to move and room to surprise. So if you like Bridgerton, I think Queen Charlotte is worth watching more so. So if you're a fan of that era of period television, it's worth checking out. Also, Shonda Rhimes did something very smart. In Bridgerton, there was a lot of talk about how the colorblind casting was not really addressed, and when it was like a throwaway line in episode four. Queen Charlotte sort of does get into that, and they do address it, and it sort of then retroactively makes Bridgerton make more sense, because it's like, okay, they're dealing with it in the past, which is why they don't have to deal with it in Bridgerton. So I appreciated that as well.
Last thing, you're caught up on Ted Lasso. I know it's been a while. It's been a while for me too. A lot's happened, Rob, since the last time I checked in. I mean, Nate's coaching a different team, and now the ex-wife was back in London with a boyfriend, and they were singing Beatles songs, and what's her name is now in a lesbian relationship. What's her name again?
Keely is in a
lesbian relationship now with somebody who's like funding her company. I've got a lot of catching up to do.
Yes.
Jamie Tartt's not a bad guy anymore. There's a lot that's gone on since I last checked in.
Too much, I think one could argue. I feel like this, first of all, they are weirdly in their late stage MASH era of Ted Lasso, where they've decided, oh, we are a drama. We have serious things to say. And so we are not going to be a 30-minute show. We are going to be a 50-minute or a 60-minute show each week, which as someone who values their time, I don't appreciate because Ted Lasso is a half-hour show. That's what I come for. That's what I want. They keep introducing new characters, new plots. The whole Keeley thing seems to be kind of out of nowhere.
Does it seem forced to you?
A little bit, but mostly it's just like, oh my gosh, this is your last season, guys. Let's get it together and move to a conclusion. And it just feels like they keep widening the lens as opposed to focusing, which is what sort of you should be doing in your last season of a show. I'm watching Ted Lasso, but I'm veering on hate watching it because I just don't think it's as good as it once was, and it's not the show that it was in its earlier seasons. I still like the characters. I'm still interested in what's going on with them, but just as far as the writing and just the fact that they cannot keep it a taut 30-minute story each week, that's driving me a little bit nuts.
Rather have them have a spin-off and have it be just about Hannah Waddingham at this point. That's who I check in to see.
Well, and I think that's entirely possible.
Oh yeah.
I think there's got to be some Ted Lasso spin-off. I mean, I don't think Apple or Warner Brothers, which produces the show for Apple, wants to let this franchise go because it's too popular, it's too valuable. So if Jason Sudeikis doesn't want to do it anymore, that's fine. I think following another character, and she, Hannah Waddingham, seems to me like an ideal person. And I also, more importantly, I think she would be game to do it. I think most of them would be game to continue in some capacity. So they haven't announced anything yet. They all get deer in the headlight looks when you ask, is this the final season? But I mean, it seems to be this is Jason Sudeikis's final season. So what that bodes for the future of the Ted Lasso universe remains to be seen. But I think there will be a continuation of some sort or a spin off of some sort.
Yeah, I didn't know if because you made reference to that, I didn't know if this was going to be the final season, if that's been announced yet or.
I mean, they're very cagey about it. Sudeikis has always said it's a three season story. So I think for the original show, this is probably it.
All right, Rob, what do you got going on in TV Talk and TV Q&A this week?
Well, let's see. With the CW change, I had to tear up TV Q&A after I'd already filed it, because I had a question about the CW that I wanted to get in. So we'll be getting into that. And also, how much longer can Grey's Anatomy possibly continue? And so I get into the reasons why it's continuing at this point, and of course, it's all about money. And then for TV Talk later in the week, I've got a preview of summer broadcast series, unless, of course, that all gets undone by the writer's strike. But so far, most of the networks seem to be sticking with their summer schedule plans. So that'll be later this week in TV Talk.
Yeah, and if you check out Breakfast Ben's later in the week, we got sort of a staggered week this week, working through the weekend. The 30th anniversary of the 1993 loss to the New York Islanders for the Pittsburgh Penguins, the infamous David Vollack game. We'll have a retrospective series on that and a conversation with Kevin Stevens, the former Pittsburgh Penguins forward who was so badly injured in that game, flashes back to it and all the problems he's had since. A very revealing conversation with him that you're going to want to listen to and read about on Friday. That's at Breakfast Ben's, and we'll be back next week for Pittsburgh Pop, and then we'll figure out Memorial Day later.
And we hope to have a special guest.
Oh, that's right. We might. Am I allowed to say this, or should I just?
I think we can tease that we are hoping to have Sally Wiggin come on
Wow.
and join us to talk about the series finale of Succession, among other topics.
Yeah, we'll talk about Succession. Do we talk about her Succession at WTAE? Like, does that come
I don't
up?
know. I don't know if she'll want to talk about that,
I don't know if
but
I could avoid that, Rob. I know this. I mean, you were talking about Ted Lasso being a half-hour show that's now an hour show. If
oh yeah.
Sally's coming on, this is going to be a 3-hour trilogy within one episode. I can guarantee you that. So we'll have Sally on, and we'll try to keep it under 90 minutes for the next episode of Pittsburgh Pop here on Trib Live.